Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Hello and welcome to another Weird News Roundup from the Something Offbeat podcast. This week we're starting off with an ancient discovery, then looking forward at a few things. Those things are the possibility of bars in Kansas City opening from 6 a.m. to 5 a.m., the future of endangered animals, and how to avoid being a jerk during upcoming holiday celebrations. We're starting off on the shores of a lake near Madison, Wisconsin, with a report from Mike Krauser of WBBM News Radio in Chicago. That's where ancient Native American canoes have recently been discovered.
The first canoe, carved from an oak log, was discovered in Lake Mendota in 2021. Carbon dating revealed it to be 1,200 years old. The oldest, the Historical Society reports, is 5,200 years old. The state's maritime archaeologist, Tamara Thompson, found the first one during a recreational dive.
It's about 15 feet long, and it was completely intact, just amazing.
And she kept finding more, some buried on top of one another. There were once indigenous trails in the area, and Thompson says the site is believed to have been a parking spot that was used for millennia. They were shared canoes, she says, and they would be buried in shallow water when not in use. Bill Quackenbush, the Ho-Chunk Nation's tribal preservation officer, said in a statement, "The canoes remind us of how long our people have lived in this region and how deeply connected we remain to these waters and lands."
According to the Wisconsin Historical Society, 14 ancient canoes are still submerged in the lake bed, and 6 of those were discovered this spring. You can read more about this discovery and the theories about the canoes at wisconsinhistory.org. Now we'll travel further south to check in on KMBZ's The Dana and Parks Show. This week, they discussed an interesting plan taking shape that can make Kansas City a nearly all-day party next summer when it becomes a host city for the World Cup.
You guys seen this story?
Ready, get your drink on.
Entrepreneurs want to tap into all the potential business they can when an estimated 650,000 visitors descend on Kansas City for the World Cup, according to Jim Reedy, detailing plans for a temporary expansion of alcohol sales in Kansas City, Missouri, to accommodate a global audience in June and July of next year. The move is more of a stress test than a free-for-all, a way to understand how far the city can stretch its nightlife infrastructure without losing control, according to Reedy, who is manager of Kansas City's Regulated Industries Division. So hear me out. From June 11th through July 19th, so a month and a week, bars and restaurants in Missouri that are licensed to serve alcohol will be allowed to serve from 6 a.m.
I know.
Until 5 a.m. the next day. A one-hour window from 5 a.m. to 6 a.m. every day to what? Restock?
There will be no drinking or no dancing from 5 to 6 a.m.
Under a statewide exemption that was passed in anticipation of the FIFA World Cup, the unprecedented move, regulators say, targets sales to fans, especially out-of-town visitors, this next sentence I disagree with, who might venture into local businesses hoping to watch live broadcasts from other host cities in wildly different time zones.
Yeah, that's the first thing I thought. They're opening overnight and all night because people are coming in from all over the world.
I understand, but they said from wildly different time zones. We are in the central time zone.
Uh-huh.
There is, so let's say we reopen the bars every morning at 6 a.m.
Right.
So people can watch the games in, quote, wildly different time zones. That would mean that a game would have to start on the East Coast at 7 a.m.
Uh-huh.
That's not going to happen. That would also mean that a game on the West Coast would have to start at 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen.
Well, you remember the Chiefs had to deal with all that jet lag from going down to Brazil.
I mean, just say what you're going to say is that people are going to come here from South America, from Europe, from Asia, from Africa.
Think they like to party.
And they want to drink. And they're highly unlikely to drive. They're probably going to take Uber. So they're a safe drinker. They're going to be irresponsible, but they're going to be safe about it.
You want to talk about making money. The Uber drivers are going to make a killing in this town.
Absolutely they are. But let's just call it what it is and drop the wildly different time zones.
Okay. I don't want to say who are they going to find to work from 2 in the morning to 5 in the morning, but that's, even if you are a bartender used to being up late, you're not used to serving people until 5 a.m.
I think the better question is, which bartender are you going to get to come in at 6 a.m.?
I would agree with that. And it's not like they have to stay open from 6 to 5. They're just now given the opportunity. Which was my experience when I was in Europe, bars didn't close.
Do they really not close over there at all?
When I was in Bulgaria, the way that it worked, and I even asked a guy because it was like 4 a.m. one night, and we were still out having a good time, and I asked the guy, I was like, do you guys ever close? And he's like, not until the people go home.
But who decided years ago, Scott, that some bars would be open until 2 a.m., and then some, if you're really out late and you know where they are open for one final until 3 a.m.
We still have a couple in Kansas City that have special grandfathered in licenses,
oh, yeah.
Don't we?
3 a.m., let's go. Oh,
yes. It might even be later than 3 for a couple of them. I don't want to speak out of turn because I don't remember exactly.
If you're young, you know where to go after 2, and yeah. You know nothing good happens after midnight, according to my mother.
Next, we're going to Adam and Jordana out of WCCO News Talk in Minneapolis. They're talking about endangered animals.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Do we really need the red-tailed, one-footed, three-eyed Cocker Spaniel? Do we
That's
need
a hell
to
of a dog. What are you talking about?
Yeah.
You see, federal agencies caused a stir this week with the proposal of changes that would impact the Endangered Species Act. Obviously, the red-tailed, one-footed, three-eyed Cocker Spaniel isn't actually on the endangered species list, but a lot of well-known and beloved species are. These include lions and gray wolves, as well as multiple types of eagles and butterflies, to name a few. The Center for Biological Diversity called the administration's moves a, quote, sweeping assault on the nation's imperiled wildlife. And the Humane World for Animals organization also called the proposed changes dangerous. NBC News noted that President Donald Trump's first administration attempted to make similar changes that were blocked by a federal judge. According to the outlet, the administration's moves answer, quote, longstanding calls for revisions to the 1973 Endangered Species Act from Republicans in Congress and industries including oil and gas, mining, and agriculture. It also explained that critics argued that the law has been wielded too broadly and that it has stifled economic growth.
The question I have this morning is, who's right? Should we be trying to save species that are endangered in a world where they can't survive on their own? Or is this survival of the fittest? Is this Darwinism at its best? If you can't survive in this world, are you better being forgotten?
No, because the rules are there. By the way, these rules were in place during the first Trump administration.
Mm-hmm.
If we are eliminating rules to protect the habitat, then that is not, I would argue that's not simply survival of the fittest, that we are actively destructing their ability to survive. So that,
so just because of humans, we have made them on the edge of extinction.
And I get it. Like, there's thousands and thousands of hundreds of thousands of species that no longer exist because humans mm-hmm. are here, and yeah. our environment, we create an environment that makes it unsustainable for those animals. However, that is different than allowing us to just to get rid of safeguards put into place to, and we're not talking about use. I think if we think about this as, well, okay, like, you know, the made up animal you just said, or some other
right.
animal,
the three eyed one legged,
some other animal that mm-hmm. you know serves no purpose other than mm-hmm. First of all, I would argue that every animal, absolutely, animal, insect, plant, serves some purpose. Mm-hmm. But let's say, okay, if nobody's aware of this animal and it goes away, well, does anybody really care? But I think these protections also protect habitats that sustain animals that we absolutely do care about, that actually maybe are not in danger now, but suddenly could be endangered. And then if they are endangered, it's like, holy crap, wait a minute. Like, we rely on some of these animals, whether to eat or to pollinate or whatever it is. That's where the problem lies. You know, back to it is a good question. It's not, you know, it's easy to say, oh, what are you kidding me? Of course you should save the animals. I get it. But, yeah, okay, if we, with how we live as humans, has destroyed the habitat and killed a lot of these animals, okay, what is the purpose of preserving those animals if they still won't be able to survive or mm-hmm. really serve no purpose, at least to us, in the first place? That's a fair question. I think I don't think that's as absurd as some might suggest it is. Because
I ask the question because I don't know the answer.
Right.
I don't know the answer. I don't know, you know, if the red-footed, left-sided, cockatoo-shaped elephant, you know, that is the last of its species. I mean, should we bother? Because the cost is high, friends. When the government spends millions of dollars, you know, or billions, you know, protecting a single population of a species that can't really protect itself, is that good for that animal?
Yeah.
Is that good for them? Because then they just have to live protected, or mm-hmm. they can't live the way they used to live. And sure, it's human intervention. We are absolutely the problem. Mm-hmm. Again, yep. We are a terrible species. We've polluted the planet. We've made it unlivable for thousands of species. And by the way, thousands of animal and plant species go extinct every year. Mm-hmm. This happens all the time. I'm not just talking about the made-up animals or whatever I made up. But we have spent a lot of money on legal battles and habitat preservation and species monitoring that maybe that money could be spent somewhere else on human causes. I agree. Yep. Humans are the problem, but do we owe a debt? Isn't that just evolution? That when, and it was like this, by the way, animals were going extinct before humans were there because you have apex predators and you have animals that couldn't survive in a new environment as the planet was warming. You know, we don't have things that we used to have billions of years ago that were alive on this planet. That is part of a natural evolution. And I guess that is my question.
However, that hasn't stopped some from actually trying to bring back extinct species. Something Offbeat interviewed science journalist Faye Flam earlier this year about Colossal Biosciences. That's a Dallas-area company that's working to resurrect the woolly mammoth and other extinct creatures. Saving species that are still alive might be easier.
Every life, animal life matters. It's not just, well, it went away. There's probably no reason for that. There was a reason for that going away. And there is a, that means it's a barometer of what's happening to our world. And trying to find a way that that life can still sustain while we can try to do what we need to do to continue to live our lives as comfortably as we want to use them is, that's a, I approve of that goal. It doesn't mean we can just wash our hands and say, well, you know, I mean, we're living here. It's tough for these animals who've gone by the wayside or part of the plant's life that is going away.
And now we'll do a little bit of holiday prep. Thanksgiving is not even a week away, and that officially kicks off the holiday season. For many, that means that in addition to holiday cheer, there's the holiday fear. Fear of awkward interactions with relatives. Awkward interactions at holiday office parties. At the mall. You name it. With tensions high, how can we avoid bad behavior? Well, Melanie Broyles from Etiquette St. Louis joined the Dave Glover Show out of KMOX to explain. She started off with the basics.
A study came out just a few months back that talked about the higher an emotional the emotional intelligence of a child is, the less likely they are to be a bully. And so we have started, it doesn't even matter the age, we've started to talk about the impact your words have and how, if you're thinking about, you know, those 12 attributes or whatever, being kind, being empathetic, being positive, being humble, when you're thinking about those things, you are less likely to hurt someone else with your words.
Yeah, I saw something the other day that rang true with me. It was an article in my show prep, and it was the number one attribute of likable people. And I want to be a likable person, so I'm like, I'm going to read this. And it was that you are a great listener. That was the number one thing, according to this scientist.
Do you know, so I always talk about, I'll get in front of a corporate group and I'm like, where do you think the listening ability of the general world is today? Are we getting better or is it getting worse? And everyone's like, Melanie, it's been lit on fire. Because we listen to respond, we don't listen to understand. So letting someone talk and then formulating your questions versus interrupting them, or like you're already formulating what you want to say in the back of your head, so you actually didn't hear what they have to say. So I think if we can do that and hear people, it doesn't mean you have to agree with them. It doesn't mean that you have to think the exact same things, but it simply means that you've taken the time and you have the courtesy to allow them to speak and process what they say and then respond in a thoughtful way.
Let's talk a little bit about the holidays. Just in general, you know, we're to that place now that my son has had the same girlfriend for 6 years. Our families are involved. We can't be at Thanksgiving at one. We'll be there at four, blah, 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 blah. There's all these, you know, we all talk about how stressful the holidays are and it's a pressure cooker, and just general advice for people and interacting, whether at holiday parties or home parties and the such.
So a big thing is if you're at a corporate setting, so if you get invited to a work holiday party, I always say that the behavior that's expected when you're at work still applies. So when you're choosing your outfit, when you're choosing, you have to understand where you work and you have to know your audience. And if you bring your spouse, then that's your job to educate them on those topics and that attire and appropriateness as well. So that's your job. So I would always say that even if it's after hours, you need to think through what those expectations are and will they still see me as a professional or someone aspiring to this level? So that's the first thing. The second thing
is such a trap.
Yeah, that
because as we all know, a lot of times the owners are like, come on, we're doing shots.
Yeah.
Come on, Melanie, get out there and show us your dance moves. And then the next day, everyone's like, man, you really took that one pretty far.
Yeah. Being the talk of the town after a work social event is not necessarily the goal. I mean, you can be talked about for all the right reasons and all the wrong reasons. And so, you know, I always feel like those are really difficult situations to navigate. Or, and sometimes it's not the employee, it's their spouse, right? Or their date that they chose to bring. And so it is your job as the employee to make sure that your spouse or guest is on board with your expectations. So when it comes to like family things, so those can be really tricky. I always say like avoid the difficult topics, right? Avoid the controversial topics. Your goal is to be with your family and to celebrate them. I have four adults, right? And so I've got two of my kids are married. one has a girlfriend, right, that he's had for a while, and then the other one is single. But we are starting that navigating of this is not the Thanksgiving my girls will be with us, but Christmas we do this, and how you're coordinating. So you have to be thoughtful. You have to give people space. You have to be flexible. And I have to keep reminding myself, my kids are listening, and they're probably like, oh, yeah, Mom, remember to be flexible. I'm going to hear that come back to me. And so I think that's a big deal. But I think like things like showing up on time, if you're supposed to bring a dish, bring a dish. Don't be the person that shows up 2 hours late and delays everybody else. If you're supposed to bring a gift, bring a gift, yeah. Right? Those are big deals. But I will tell you the thing that I want everyone to remember is to be kind to retail workers and to settle down. I literally pulled into a mall parking lot yesterday, saw someone walking to their space. I was sitting there nicely waiting for my spot, you know, left some room so people could get around me because I didn't want to. And someone pulled in front of me, turned on their blinker and stole my spot. And it's not even Thanksgiving.
Yikes. Mm. What about that? What about when you do crap the bed? One instance with my family we still crack up about is when the kids were smaller, we took them to Florida, and Nick took a buddy of his, Will, who's like my second son, and we played this card game called Mao,
okay.
Which is all, its whole purpose is to piss you off. And for the first time in my life, I took a drug called Trazodone, and it just... It did something to me. Okay. And so while we're playing, I'm typically very nice, but I'm pretty bad at playing games. And I lost it. And like, I literally went into a bedroom, covered myself up to my neck, and one by one had my family members come in and apologize to them. It was, and we all just really crack up about it. It's a really funny thing in my life, but it wasn't so funny that night. What happens when you go too far?
So I think the biggest thing is own it. Don't try to blame somebody else. Just, you know what? I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have treated you that way. I said something I shouldn't have said. I think apologies, especially if they're sincere and authentic, go a long way. You know, when your kids were little and you said, go apologize to your sister or go apologize. I'm like, sorry, that's not real. Right. We know that. But when you really do, like, none of us are perfect. And I think that like technology, social media, artificial intelligence has made us think that perfect is attainable. And it's not. So the reality is we need to set our expectations where we know that the person attending with us is human and I'm human, and we need to not take things so seriously, not take things so personally, own it and apologize when you can, repair that relationship. And that's really what it's about, because dividing and nobody seeing each other anymore, that's not the way it was supposed to be.
Rachel, anything?
I mean, it's Melanie, it seems like so much of what you're talking about just comes down to respect and having respect for others. Is there any sort of like regrounding advice you could give to someone where it's like, I mean, how can you just find that respect in any situation? Maybe that's an unfair question.
No, it's not at all. I think that what advice I would give somebody is to, if you literally think about, am I being kind, and are my words lifting somebody up or are my words tearing them down? Mm-hmm. And I think it comes back to that. Like, you don't always have to have the last word. You don't always have to be right. Right could be a combination of what one person said and a combination of what somebody else said. But when we get so absorbed in ourself, and I think that's my biggest reminder, is step outside yourself for a minute and say, how would I want them to treat me, or how would this impact me? And we think about our words. I think that that's a big deal.
Definitely something to keep in mind this holiday season. And thank you all for listening to this Weird News Roundup from Something Offbeat. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Mike Krauser and WBBM News Radio in Chicago, The Dana and Parks Show out of KMBZ in Kansas City, The Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO News Talk in Minneapolis, and The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis. You can listen to Something Offbeat and subscribe to the show on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.